We were talking about the topic of Shemaya Ka'ona, eventually leading into how it gets into Sefiras HaOmer, but we haven't done that yet. And essentially, we started off, we're not going to review every detail, but just our story so far in broad strokes. So we talked about the fact that there is a primary question that we put on the table before starting anything else. Simply definitional, translational. Shomea Ka'ona, what does that mean? The listener is like the speaker. So what does that mean? Does that mean listening is like speaking? Are we comparing verbs? Or do we mean that the listener is like the speaker? We're comparing people. And we went through a few examples that indicate that the first possibility, that if we say we're comparing verbs, what we mean is that halachically, if we need you to speak for a mitzvah, listening is also called speaking. So it means it's as if you're actually speaking, and we saw yesterday, maybe that means it should actually be a hefsek if you do so in the middle of Shemona Esrei, even though you're not talking, because we treat it like actual speaking. But it's also a big limitation, because it means it's only speech, and it's nothing else. So if a mitzvah requires you to do anything beyond speech, you're going to theoretically have problems. While the other possibility, if we're comparing people, so then that has a few implications also. As we saw, maybe it wouldn't be a hefsek, like Rashi's assumption that you could do that during Shemona Esrei, because it's not about that you're speaking, it's about a connection to the speaker. And it's saying that you get to have a ride with him, so to speak, so therefore, whatever he's doing, you are credited with. So as we saw, it has implications in two directions. It doesn't necessarily mean it's like you're talking. We shouldn't necessarily call it a hefsek. And also, on the other side, it means that it's not limited to just words, and if you're connected to the speaker, if the speaker is doing everything right, he has a full course of wine, he has a kosher megillah, he has whatever else, so then you could have those as part of your mitzvah as well. So we went through a couple of examples of both of those implications, but that's the general thrust of what we've been talking about so far. So what I'd like to do today, and hopefully finish today, is ask you the following question. Can we take this a step further now? If we posit that we have these two models, one that says that Shemaya Ka'ona is treating your listening like speaking, and one that says that Shemaya Ka'ona is about connecting you to the speaker, is it possible to take this now a little bit deeper and ask the following question? What is the operating system of Shemaya Ka'ona? What is the active ingredient? Let's assume for a moment, even though Shemaya Ka'ona has its own mucker, it's a mucker from Nach, not a mucker from Chumash, but the Gemara ties it to the story of Yoshiyahu reading the Sefer Torah. Is it possible to assume that Shemaya Ka'ona is really premised on some other concept in halacha? There's some other concept in halacha that makes it possible to understand how Shemaya Ka'ona works, and if we can uncover what that principle is, that will make other parts fall into place. Jonathan, you want to comment on that?
The Arvus?
So Arvus, it's important to actually clarify, Arvus is often confused with Shemaya Ka'ona. Arvus is actually a detail of Shemaya Ka'ona. That what Arvus does, just it's a phrase that comes up a lot in halacha, it's important to clarify where it fits. We actually haven't spent any time talking about it in this context. I'm not sure if we will in the interest of time, but just to define what it is that Shemaya Ka'ona, it's interesting, you're saying that maybe we have a conceptual kind of Arvus, the idea that Klal Yisrael is responsible for each other, that could be a premise for Shemaya Ka'ona. I guess that's what you meant. But it's also interesting, we talk halachically about Arvus. We mean it a little bit more narrowly defined as a detail of Shemaya Ka'ona, because it comes in the context, comes in the following context, that normally for Shemaya Ka'ona to work, the person doing the speaking has to be chayiv in the mitzvah. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. So if that's true, so you could ask, if I already heard Kiddush, I shouldn't be allowed to make Kiddush for anyone else. If I already heard Shofar, I shouldn't be allowed to blow Shofar for anyone else. Shofar may or may not be related to Shemaya Ka'ona, but let's just use it as an example for now. If I heard Megillah, I shouldn't be able to go to the nursing home and read Megillah for the people there, because I'm not chayiv to read it twice. So if I have to be chayiv in the mitzvah, I'm not chayiv to do any of these mitzvahs more than once. I already fulfilled it, I'm not chayiv. So the Gemara says, no, we don't view it like that. We don't view it as if you're off the hook because you did the mitzvah. Even though you wouldn't personally be reliable to do it twice, but if there's another Jew who needs you, so then that, so to speak, keeps your obligation alive. And we say that Kol Yisrael are ravens of us, that since we have responsibility for everyone else, so therefore that makes it as if you still have an obligation. You're still mechuyev b'dav. As long as you're somebody who's generally mechuyev, you're not somebody who's pater normally, you're somebody who's generally mechuyev, the fact that you've already personally fulfilled the mitzvah doesn't make you a non-chiyuv. So arvus, I guess, is capital Ayin arvus and lowercase Ayin arvus. So what you're referring to is the fact that we're all interconnected. So maybe that has a basis for Shemei Kona. That might be a valid point. But in the lowercase arvus, we mean it as a detail of Shemei Kona. That within Shemei Kona, you would normally wouldn't be able to use it if you're not chayiv. And the chiddush of arvus is that even in a situation where you did it already, that's called chayiv. So it comes up in the conversation when you have a motzi, you have the person who's talking, and he's already fulfilled the mitzvah. Okay, so separate from that, are there any other existing principles in halacha that might serve as a operating system or as an active ingredient for Shemei Kona? Any other thoughts? What might possibly be relevant? Well, one candidate, just to give you a hint, it was on the Mar Makomos, the sugi about it, so even if you weren't familiar with it before yesterday, maybe you've seen it since then, there is a Gemara Maseches Brachos on Daf Chaf Amud Beis at the bottom, which introduces a concept called Hirhur Kedibur, that at least theoretically, it's possible to fulfill mitzvos that involve speech through thinking about them, right? So the Mishnah says in Brachos, if you had a chance to see it, that if a person is not able to say words with Kedusha, let's say he's in a state of Tumah, for example, so then he could still fulfill Brachos through thinking about them. Thinking the words, that will count as speaking them. So could we say, listen, let that be the model. Let that be what it's based on. Let's connect these two principles. If I'm listening to somebody reciting the words of a bracha, so then, presumably, I am thinking about the words of the bracha. I'm hearing the words, so presumably I'm thinking them. So maybe we should say that's what Shemei Kona is. Shemei Kona is built on Hirhur Kedibur. That in general, if a person were to think on his own the words of a bracha, that might work. So too, if I listen to somebody else saying them, so now I'm thinking them. So here, Kedibur is being activated. What do you think of that? Michael?
It's a neutral discussion of what thinking is. Very
philosophical question, right? An epistemological question, nature of knowledge, the nature of thinking. Descartes, you know, I think, therefore I'm Yotze Mitzvah. So, what's the nature of thinking?
So, do you actually have to understand on the level that the one reading is? Or is it just a superficial, I know that I'm listening to someone.
Okay, so that's itself a fair question. So that's certainly an issue to think about. And beyond that, what do you think about this? Is Hirhur Kedibur, will that explain it? Can we just plug one into the other and that takes care of Shemei Kona? Or are there any objections, any issues, any reasons to say that it's not enough? Jonathan?
Well, it's more of a jump, because Hirhur Kedibur is that you're thinking about it like if you would have said it. But here, Shemei Kona is that first you have to say that Hirhur is the same as Shemeya, and not only that, it's Shemeya from a different person, as opposed to Hirhur Kedibur was only within yourself.
That's interesting. It's not exactly what I was looking for, but it's an interesting point. I think you're building somewhat on what Michael was saying, is that how do we define thinking? Is it enough that because the words are flashing in front of your head because you're hearing somebody else say it, that's called thinking? Or maybe thinking is a more active process. You have to kind of generate the words on your own. And if you're not generating the words on your own, so then maybe that's not called hearer. That's really a very deep kind of philosophical question in terms of, as you said, a definition of thought. So that's an interesting objection. So you're saying you could believe maybe Hirhur Kedibur works, but it's not enough to explain Shemei Kona for that reason.
But the second point also is that Hirhur Kedibur dummy is that only within yourself, meaning that you could have said it, but you're doing Hirhur. But Shemei Kona is hearing from a different person, is like you're saying. There's also a jump between two, from one person to two people.
Right, although I think really your different sfeikas all come down to one sfeik. And basically, what rises to the level of hearer? This hearer that you're yotze with. So how much does it have to be independently generated? Does it have to come? So I think the point is well taken, but I think it's all one issue. But that's actually not even one of the points I'm looking for. It's an interesting point, but there are a couple of other reasons to not be so convinced this answers the question. One point is, this is a technical point that's hard to necessarily be aware of, but this is going to be a technical issue, is that hearer kedibur is not unanimously accepted. It's a machlokus in the Gemara. It's a question how it applies la halacha. So that is not as widespread a concept. While Shemei Ka'ona, as far as we know, we discussed yesterday whether it's the Chachila B'di'evet, but it seems also that Shemei Ka'ona seems to be pretty unanimously accepted. We're not aware of anyone who denies the viability of Shemei Ka'ona. So it's hard to say that Shemei Ka'ona, which is unanimously accepted, is premised upon something which is not unanimously accepted. And I'm going to say that anyone who denies Hira Kedibor denies Shemei Ka'ona, we have no evidence of that. So it's a difficult relationship to make for that reason. But that's, again, not something you necessarily could have come on to. But there's another requirement which you are aware of, and you probably saw some Makaris about it also, that makes it hard to understand how it connects to Hira Kedibor. We know, and we just alluded to this a minute ago when we talked about Arvus, that there is a requirement of Hira Kedibur, of Shemei Ka'ona rather. What's the requirement of Shemei Ka'ona? That the one speaking be chayiv in the mitzvah. And the way we understand it is he has to be as chayiv in the mitzvah as the person who's being yotze. So if the person who's listening is chayiv min haTorah and the person who's speaking is chayiv midrabanan, that's a problem. If it's the other way around, the person speaking is chayiv min haTorah, the one listening is chayiv midrabanan, that's okay. But or if it's equal, that's okay. But the one speaking has to be at least as chayiv as the one who's listening to him. So asks the Turi Evin in his commentary to Megillah. Who is the Turi Evin? The author of the Shagash Aryeh, who we talked about yesterday at some length. So the Turi Evin in his commentary to Megillah, and the Rabbi Kiva Eger in his Tosfos to the Mishnayos, the commentary to the Mishnayos and Brachos and Dav Chaf, they both ask the same question. Why should we have such a requirement? Why should we need that the person doing the speaking is obligated in the mitzvah? If hearer kedibur works, so then why don't we say in general that if I'm listening to anyone talk, whether they're chayiv or not, that will provoke hearer, that will mean I'm thinking about the words, and therefore I shouldn't need to care about who it is who's doing the speaking. Any outside stimulus or inside stimulus, but any outside stimulus as well, that is going to make me think about the words, should fulfill the goal of hearer kedibur. So why is that not true? Why should we care who's doing the speaking? This comes up, it's interesting, so if you look at the Makoros and Brachas Nefchaf and Midbeis, right, so there the Gemara has a suffix right before the hearer kedibur, gave you two separate Makoros in the same daf. So on the bottom is the din of hearer kedibur. On the top, before they talk about that, so the Gemara has a suffix, which is really a fascinating thing. This is actually still a suffix of halacha. It's such an important question. It's kind of unresolved. Are women chayavos in benching min haTorah? Should we say that women only bench midrabanan, or are they chayavos to bench min haTorah? So what difference does it make, asks the Gemara. So she has to bench one way or another. What do we care if it's min haTorah or midrabanan? Which is fascinating, because normally when we talk about dinim drabanan deraisa, usually the first thing we care about, we talk about safek deraisa lechumra safek drabanan lekula. So that's already enough to answer the question. We'll say a woman's not sure if she has to bench or not, or she's not sure if she did bench already. If it's a drabanan, we'll be megal. And if it's a deraisa, so then we'll have to be machmir. So why is that not the obvious answer? Good question, but the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, why do we care? We care because what happens if you have a husband who wants to have his wife be motzi him in benching? That's the Gemara's explanation of why we care about the question. That if a man has to bench and his wife wants to be motzi him, So she's chayev es drabanan maybe, and he's chayev deraisa. That'll be a problem. So that's what we got to figure out: is she chayev deraisa, is she chayev drabanan? And then the Gemara gets into the question of whether a katan can be motzi an adult. Big issue in the Rishonim: katan's only chayev drabanan, maybe not even chayev drabanan. So that's a whole story based on this premise. So I asked Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and asks the Tori Evan and Megillah in a different context, why do we care? We have a principle of Hirka Dibur, so any source that's going to put these words in your mind should work as far as Hirka Dibur is concerned. So it shouldn't matter, we shouldn't have this requirement that the one talking is Chayev in the Mitzvah. You hear the question? So what approaches could you take to answer it? Any thoughts? Jonathan?
Your Kedibor is not the same as Shemekona.
Okay, so maybe you're saying that they don't work in the same way. So it's not, they have to figure out what the difference is. And maybe the difference is like you were saying before, that Shemekona is not necessarily going to rise to the level of here Kedibor. You could have thought, based on what we said a few minutes ago, that maybe those Gemaras that say that you have to be Chayiv are not paskaling like here Kedibor. If I said here Kedibor is controversial, it's not unanimously accepted. So maybe those sugyas don't have to go together.
And then maybe the rush and the riff and the gears of asking that he or left them if they were done.
So all the more so, you're saying, so then that could support that point. So that could have been a good answer, except that if you look at the Gemaras we just referred to, it's Ravina in both Gemaras, that Ravina holds from here to the work, and then it's Ravina who asks this question about whether a woman can be motzi her husband in Benji. So theoretically, that could have been a good approach, except it doesn't work with the Gemara. So, Rabbi Akiva Eiger himself gives an answer which certainly indicates that he doesn't think that Shemei Kaona operates from a perspective of Hirur Kedibur. He says that Hirur Kedibur works if you want it to work. You have to kind of choose to push the button. If you decide to activate Hirur Kedibur, so then it'll operate like that. In other words, if a person decides, I want to think benching. I don't remember the words, though. I don't know them by heart. So I'll ask my wife to read a bencher out loud, so I'll know what the words are. So if that's what you want to do, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, fine. Here at Kedibur, that would work. But if you're choosing to turn on your Shemei Kaona button, so then the person who's speaking has to be obligated. It's a fascinating idea. It's all going to depend on what you're trying to do. It takes intent in order to activate the system. So if you're thinking, all right, I'll use Hirur Kedibur and I need somebody to remind me what the words are, Itaka wouldn't matter who that person is. But if you're trying to use Shemei Kaona, then we care, is the person obligated or not? So certainly Rabbi Akiva Eiger with that answer is certainly telling us that Shemei Kaona is not premised on Hirur Kedibur. So basically, there's more you could say about that, but Hirur Kedibur has pluses and minuses as a candidate to explain Shemei Kaona. But let's say it was the right answer. Let's say that was the truth. Shemei Kaona is premised on Hirur Kedibur. Would that tell us anything about our initial question that we started with about the translation of the phrase? What do you think? Does that push us in one direction or the other? Jonathan?
It seems to be more like the verb, that the act of listening is more like the...
I agree, right? Basically, since Hirur Kedibur clearly means that, we don't have the same suffix there, Hirur Kedibur clearly means that the act of thinking about the words would have a status like speaking them. If Shemei Kaona is premised on that, what Shemei Kaona means is that listening is as if you're saying the words, with all of the implications that we connected to that it's only words, nothing else. And that it's literally as if you are saying the words, it's a hefsek, etc., etc. Okay, so that's one candidate. And it has pluses and minuses, but if it wins, it probably lands us in the verb column. Any other possible candidates? Any other concepts in halacha that might serve as somewhat of a parallel or somewhat of a basis for Shemei Kaona? Thank you. Shlichus. Right, shlichus sounds very similar. Right, shlichus is another mechanism in halacha by which I ask somebody else to represent me, to do a mitzvah on my behalf, to do the active part of the mitzvah, and I fulfill a mitzvah through his physical efforts. So there does seem to be a certain overlap here, right, that I'm appointing somebody else to be my representative and to do the physical work and I'll fulfill the mitzvah through him. So maybe that's it. Maybe Taka Shemei Kaone is a form of shlichus. Now there are those who believe that. And maybe we'll expand on that in a moment. But now let's ask you the same question. If I want to propose shlichus as a candidate, what are the strengths and weaknesses of that approach? Does that fully answer it? Does that do it for us? Jonathan? It
seems to be more like the noun, like Shameach and Hamadaber.
Oh, so I think you're correct, right? That will bring us, if we end up electing shlichus as the choice, so then that will put us in the other column. That would say that I'm basically fulfilling the mitzvah through this guy. So whatever he's doing, I'm doing. So I think that's correct, that essentially our two models here, our two columns line up, that if it's here at Kedibur, we end up with the verb connection. And if it's shlichus, I'm connected to the person and I get whatever he's doing, and it's not as if I'm actually speaking, just as with all other mitzvahs, I could be asleep and the shlichus is credited to me. So I think that's correct, but what I'm looking for here is just in terms of, is it a good candidate? Is shlichus enough to explain Shemaya Kaona? Or are there any differences that may confuse things? Does it line up?
He's not appointing him, so he's not necessarily...
So let's say I do. You know, you can have implicit appointment. Right? So that doesn't have to bother us so much, because maybe I will do appoint him at Shemaya Kaona. And also we could have implicit. It could be clear enough that he's on my behalf.
Yeah. It fits, I think, with the idea of having the same level of chiyuv a little bit, because you can't have, let's say, as a Yisrael, I can't have, say, to my kohen to be my shliach in my mitzvah break gas kohanim. It just doesn't work. I'm not chayiv in it. So do over here. If someone has a different level of chiyuv, I don't know how it would connect.
So I think you're very correct. Right? That was the big weakness in the Hirah Kedibur arguments, and that if you want to say shlichus, it would help us a lot more. Right, we know when it comes to shlichus, we have a requirement that the shliach be a bar chiyuvah. He's got to be somebody who is obligated to mitzvah. So that would parallel very nicely over here. That would explain that detail. Is there anything, though, that doesn't fit so well? Let me raise two questions about this comparison. One is, let's say I send a shliach to do any other mitzvah in the Torah. Do I have to be present when the shliach does the mitzvah? Not necessarily. I could be asleep in bed and the shliach is doing the mitzvah on my behalf. I'll fulfill the mitzvah. Right? So, for example, most fathers do bris milah through a shliach nowadays, generally recommended for most people. So they tend to want to be there at the bris of their son, but if they weren't, the mitzvah would still be fulfilled. Right? If the father couldn't make the bris and he sends the shliach to do it and he's not there, the mitzvah is still... No, 100%.
Get
for sure. Get, you have to figure out whether it's the same kind of shlichus or not, but yes, it's also true for sure. Right? Anytime you have shlichus, you don't have to be physically present. So if I'm going to fulfill benching through shlichus, through shlichus, or Kriyas Megillah through shlichus, so then it's great. I don't have to get up early per morning. I can go give my shalach manis, and I'll send somebody else to shul on my behalf. I'll send the Baal Torah to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas and Megillah on my behalf. So that's one difference, right? Shlichus, I shouldn't have to be physically present. And Shemaya Kaona, I clearly do have to be physically present. Now also, you could ask a different kind of question, that we know that there are limitations to when Shlichus works and when it doesn't. And the famous Yisod that the Ktzos has, based on the Tosfos Rid, is that any time a mitzvah is done physically, mitzvah shebegufo, that means that you have to do it yourself. So you can't say, all right, Lulav and Esrog, I'll appoint somebody else to do Lulav and Esrog on my behalf. That's a physical mitzvah, I have to waive the Lulav and Esrog. I can't appoint someone else to wear tefillin on my behalf. It's a physical mitzvah. It's a mitzvah shebegufo. The times when shlichus works, it's more about, as a result, I need to bring about. I need that my son should be circumcised. I need to bring about some type of a result in the world. Yeah, there's a lot to discuss about Mila, but in general, that's the basic yisod that's often invoked for shlichus, that it doesn't work if there's a physical role that I have to play. So if there's a mitzvah to say something, to hear something, that sounds pretty physical. So how is that working through shlichus? Hi.
So how, like, I don't know, this is also a totally different area, but how can you have, for, I don't know, like, Matanos Lavionim or Mechiris Chametz, how can you have Shliach that is physical active?
No, but it's not. Exactly. The whole point is that Mechiris Chametz, especially Mechiris Chametz, that's not missed at all. Right? Mechiris Chametz is not about you have to physically sell the Chametz, it's that you shouldn't have the Chametz. So if somebody else takes it out of your shush on your behalf, that for sure should work. But then the first example, you say Matan Savyonim,
yeah.
So that also is more result-based, right? It's that you want to get your money into somebody else's hands. So if somebody else brings it there for you, so then for sure that should be good. So those are really result-based mitzvot more than physically-based mitzvot. So those are differences between Shemei Kaona and Shlichus that could push it away as a candidate. Jonathan?
I understand why this is problematic. You're saying that having a physical action is something that you can't do with Shlichus, so too, according to one way we understood Shemei Kaona, is that it can't be with physical action, only with, let's say, verbiage.
Right, the verbiage sounds like it's still just, you do that with your body. You're speaking with your body or listening to your body.
We said that's dafka, not like, let's say, Nisiyas Kapayim or...
Right, but not because it's not physical, but because it has but verbal itself is mice or something to do. Right. So those are problems, those are differences in terms of Shemei Kaona and Shlichus. But the truth is, you could resolve those problems. Now, how do you resolve those problems? That's going to be quite a cliffhanger, which we'll have to carry this over a little bit. I wanted to keep this topic a little bit short. We'll have to carry this over a little bit tomorrow. And I also want to look at this Yom HaShoah related topic with you as well. So God willing, we'll finish this tomorrow for good. We now have the privilege of hearing our Mashkiach and the Beit